nothing matters.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We are okay with you calling up and acting like a complete clown.
LAPD was called.
Got the first video of the second youngest man with 20,000 points.
On a more serious note, the Raiders...
Oh, that wasn't serious?
I'm sorry. I dared you not to laugh.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Who doesn't need some Tone Loke in the middle of the show? Goodness. I don't remember who put that piece of production together, but it's brilliant. Not only the laughing, I'm sure it was Isaac, but the choice of music. That is one of my favorite things, if there's a favorite thing, about working with different people here on the show, is I get to hear their choice of music as it plays out live on the air. Because I give the producers and the fill-in producers autonomy, for the most part, when it comes to the music. Now, there is some music that I don't want you to play, but generally I don't use my veto power very often. Also, it's really hot in here. Hold on. Talks amongst yourselves.
Yeah, so I mean, your old producer, he actually...
It goes from being super hot to being super cold.
It's funny, though, with all these beds, Amy, James actually did have a different, like, he has a place. Just Baccioni.
For all of his own?
Yeah, like...
Well,
yeah.
You called him James, and I was like, James? Botch, oh, J.
Yeah, Jay. So,
producer Jay.
Yeah, producer Jay. So, I mean, when he trained me, he showed me where his stash is, and it's still there.
His stash. I like it. Oh, my goodness. Do you know there is swimming that will be starting in mere moments?
In the Seine.
I looked up.
No, not in the Seine.
No, this is actually not in the poop water.
Oh, okay.
At least I hope so. You would think there'd be plenty of chlorine in the Olympic pool.
You'd also hope Olympic athletes wouldn't be, you know, relieving themselves in the Olympic pool.
Yes. And that's the end of that conversation. I just no longer want to have it. I actually want to hear something really, what we're talking about water, that really gave me a sweet smile and all the feels. Do you see that North Korea, who was competing in the diving, synchronized diving, won its first ever diving medal? And I even said to my husband, I bet they're real popular on the diving circuit, right? They seem to kind of be spent, like, set apart on their own with their coaches. But sometimes you have to remember, too, that they're people as well. And as much as North Korea and China are different governments, and some of the stories that you hear about how the athletes are treated, actually, and how their families are treated if they don't meet expectations and live up to the pressures, it can be a little drastic. I hope they're not true, actually. But when they won this medal, I think they finished silver medal behind the Chinese. They were in tears and very emotional. So they were stoic most of the competition. But then when they secured the silver medal, they were in tears and were very emotional with their coaches. I thought that was really neat. Their first ever medal for the North Koreans in diving.
I saw a post on Twix, if I'm not mistaken, of is the table tennis competition. I think it was the mixed doubles competition. And both the North Koreans and South Koreans medaled, and at the podium they took a selfie, and I thought that was pretty cool because I mean Korea, you know, we all know what's been going on in Korea since whenever, right. And you know, I thought it was pretty cool. That's what the Olympics are about, man.
Yeah, absolutely, about coming together for sport and competition, but sportsmanship and friendship and even rivalries. They take a back seat and thinking about just where some of these athletes come from and the conditions in which they compete. And I know we medal count and all that jazz, but ultimately the Olympics are about so much more than that, which is really neat. But yes, I've seen the post out there where there actually were North and South Korean athletes that were taking selfies together at the Olympics and on a podium for their various medals, but together to take selfies, which is awesome. Good for them. Especially as you point out what's been happening in on the Korean border, but also the political climate always is very tense. So that's awesome to see. Hope it feels like some freedom for them for a little while, and that they, for them and for their families, they are able to secure a little bit of extra freedom, maybe some perks because they've exceeded expectations. I hope that is the case. Also, you just never know what's actually happening. We just hear rumors and stories, that kind of stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Olympics are not even a week old, and since the opening ceremonies, and already there's been so many great stories. So glad to have them each night to be able to talk about, including Katie Ledecky, her 12th career Olympic medal. Only Michael Phelps has more swimming medals in Olympic history. So how about that? She's the queen of the pool, and she continues to be incredible. At 27 years old, she's on the older end, but has actually indicated that she might compete in LA in 2028. And what do we hear from Leon Marchand about how cool it is to compete in front of a full house of French fans who not only know him, but support him? He says he's heard it. It's amazing. The atmosphere is awesome. And he even said out loud, because he and Michael Phelps shared a coach, Bob Bowman is now Leon's coach, that he wished Michael could have competed in front of an American-centric crowd. And so I think that that's really neat. But then to think about it from Katie Ledecky's point of view, how neat it would be for her to compete in L.A. and to have an American home field advantage, an American home court advantage for one of the greatest swimmers of all time. But yeah, Leon has raved about the crowds.
I just feel so lucky to have the Olympics at home. I think Michael didn't have the same chance, which he had actually. It's just something to witness, I think. So I was just, my eyes big open and trying to take as much energy as possible from the crowd. And yeah, it's been really fun.
Yeah, another soundbite that I heard from his conversation with Melissa Stark was about building up to this moment. Think about it. He's 22. They've known the Olympics were going to be in Paris for over a decade.
Working every day since, 3-4 years now. Really hard. I was aiming for the Olympics at home. I'm just, enjoying a lot right now. It's been amazing to do this in front of this home crowd. And those two finals were pretty fun to me.
Yeah, to a pair of gold medals for Leon in a pair of 200-meter races, one butterfly, one breaststroke, and he ends up capturing a pair of golds within 2 hours of each other. That's history. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. This portion of the show sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The Ioniq 5 and 5N, Ioniq 6, and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. Online at A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page as well. Goodness, you're making me hungry. It's not a good idea for me to read all of these dessert and treat suggestions. The indulgences that you would allow yourself every day if you burned as many calories as Katie Ledecky. There's only one Katie Ledecky, sadly, but I do love all of your suggestions, except that I'm supposed to be going to the grocery store in 2 hours when the show's over, and make me a little bit nervous that I'm not going to have the willpower to resist. But yeah, if you could eat if you burned as many calories as Katie, you got to burn the calories first, and then you can have the treats. What one treat will you indulge in every single day? And so some of your newer answers on Facebook are terrific. Let's see. This is a great one from Beth. Potato chips, with about 4 exclamation points, maybe 5. Paul goes with a good piece of lasagna. Matt loves cookies and cake, crumb cake. Cake. Cookies and cake, but crumb cake is his favorite. Let's see. Greg says, I'm a chubby little man who loves to bake and loves to eat, hence the chubby. Pictured are my latest lemon squares, but blueberry pie has always been my favorite. I'm told as a small child, I dove into the pie and wore as much as I ate. Oh, yeah, that's the privilege of being a kid. You can dive into your food. Reggie says brisket. Ben goes with cherry cordial ice cream. Let's see. Peter goes with cannoli all day long. Well, I mean, let's not get crazy. All day long, you probably wouldn't be a very good swimmer then. Let's see. Carlos, Cinnabons. Matthew says a new treat every day, like a weird advent calendar for life. All right. I like the originality. Our friend Jerry Palm goes with ice cream. Nick on Facebook goes with creme brulee. And then Jim says any type of pasta. Actually, that was one of the questions on Ask Amy Anything that I went back and answered on our Facebook page. What is your favorite kind of pasta? So if you didn't hear your question posed, if you missed it on the podcast, well, you can go back. I've answered as many questions as I could quickly. 855-212-4227 on both of our social media sites. If you're Katie Ledecky and you could indulge in one treat every day, what would it be? Because she is the queen of swimming and, if she wants to be, the queen of dessert. So with my apologies to the Olympics, because they were pretty darn good on Wednesday, probably my favorite video or favorite moment that I saw on social yesterday. This is from the Eagles. They're in a gym as they're about to engage in a team meeting. So this is part of training camp and preseason, and all of them are in this big gym. And on the wall up at the front of the meeting room is a hoop, a basketball hoop. So it's one of those multi-purpose auditoriums. There's a basketball hoop. And standing along the baseline, if you will, so he's up, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 rows, CJ Gardner-Johnson has a basketball in his hand. And while you don't hear it on camera, apparently he was challenged to hit what amounts to a long baseline jumper. And if he hit the shot, the team meeting would be canceled. Not only does he nail it, but the crowd goes wild. Oh my gosh. The uproar inside this gymnasium is amazing. Everybody stands up, jumps up and down, screams, and then they
onions,
all get
baby onions.
They all get to leave. So if you haven't seen it, I did retweet it. It's pretty Larry Bird-esque. You remember hearing the stories if you're my age or if you were a Sad Sap and never got to see Larry Bird play live, but you've heard the rumors and the reports, they're all true. Larry would show up at practice and he would chirp about hitting a half-court shot that would either end practice or would keep them off the practice court altogether. And he would take the shot and then walk off before it went through the hoop. And this was very Larry Bird-esque. CJ Gardner-Johnson. And then every single member of the Eagles comes up to say thank you and congratulates him. And they're all walking out. That's it. Meeting's over. It's awesome. So here I'll retweet A-Law Radio and you can check it out. This comes directly from the Eagles. So ice water in his veins. That was probably the best thing that I saw on Wednesday. It's great to have you with us here after hours on CBS. Oops. Now, see, you know what's crazy? I spent 8 years at my previous network. When I first made the jump here to the network previously known as CBS Sports Radio, I dropped my other network's name maybe 2 or 3 times. It did not happen very often, even though I'd been there for 8 years. I don't know why I'm still continuing to say the old name of our network after it's been a few months, because I really shouldn't be, but I don't know. It's been 12 years here. So maybe those extra 4 years kind of deep seated a little bit. Yeah. Sorry about that, CBS. I guess we should pay you for it, but don't. That's unfortunate. It's a slip of the tongue. I guess it doesn't really matter. Do you think people even know what network they're listening to half the time?
No.
You know, what's really funny is this is a Producer Jay thing. In each of the producers that were in charge of shows at the time that we dumped the 3 letters and moved to this made up Infinity Sports Network, They were all charged with going through the production meticulously in each of our folders, our audio folders, and making sure that there were no references with the old name of the network. Well, Jay swears he did it. I knew he didn't. There was no way. He's like, there's only a few. I pulled them. Yeah, right. Anyway, I knew that he hadn't gone through it all, but he swears that he found the few that were in there. Oh, yeah, multiple times over the course of the next couple of weeks. Whoopsie, there's another one. Oh, whoops, there's another one. Yeah, yeah, that's what happens when you don't do your J-O-B. You had one job. Actually, that's not true. The producers here have a lot more than just one job. 45 minutes from now, we're going to head to Paris and welcome Steve Futterman, who has been at the swimming. He was at gymnastics. I actually saw a photo of him going to Roland-Garros for the first time. So he's been all over the place covering these Olympic Games. And he's been to a bunch of Olympics. So I'm interested in his perspective. So make sure that you're with us 45 minutes from now or that you catch it on podcast. Coming up, it was the best of times and the worst of times for the Baltimore Orioles on Wednesday. And, what else do I want to mix in? Oh, definitely some football. DJ Moore talking about his fat contract. I heard Boomer Esiason on his New York radio show on Wednesday morning say, this makes DJ Moore the highest paid football player ever to come out of Maryland. Which, of course, he went to Maryland. And yes, he's slightly jealous. I'm only jealous of the food that Katie Ledecky gets to eat. I'm not jealous of the 1,500 meter swims she has to do, but I am in awe of them. So look for the GIF. I'm really proud of myself, you guys. You should, if you know me, you should know it was going to be something along these lines. And on Twix, it might be my first or second GIF ever. I don't recall having done a GIF in the past, so it could be number one. But what's the treat you would indulge in every day if you could? A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You guys, happy Thursday and happy August. What? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Rodriguez stretches, 0-2 offering, and that's a fly ball, deep right field, it is down the right field line, if it's fair, it's gone, and it is long gone! The first Major League homer for Jackson Holliday, it's a grand slam! And the Orioles, as soon as it's a one-run game, surge forward on the first big league homer for Jackson Holliday!
To come back up here and then hit a grand slam and help the team win. Can't imagine anything better.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Jackson Holliday, remember, he was brought up by the Orioles earlier in the year, and everybody was excited to see Matt Holliday's son make his major league debut, but he struggled, and so they quickly sent him down to AAA. But as he returns, what does he do? Well, he blasts a grand slam for his first ever big league home run, as you hear on the Orioles radio network, and then his reaction on their TV network, Masson. So congratulations to him. That had to feel good. And certainly, he's been working hard for another opportunity at the AAA level.
Just kind of getting back to what I was doing last year with my setup a little bit and being able to drive the ball the other way. And it's been working out for me in AAA, and I'm glad to bring it back up here.
I hope that he's able to stick this time. He goes 1-for-5, but with the 4 RBI, a neat moment for Holliday. Now, this was a bittersweet victory for the Baltimore Orioles because even though they had that great moment from Jackson, they also had a moment that will cost them.
Esper's played good in the field today. He is 0-for-2, 0-1, and that one hit him. Hit him on the hand, and he will run down to first base. That was a 95-mile-an-hour fastball that got Westberg. Now, Brian Ebel, the Orioles trainer, is going to go out. Westberg quickly turned and ran up the first base line.
Update on Westberg. Westberg's got a right hand fracture. It's we're not sure the timetable on his return, but hopefully by the end of the regular season.
Now, Brandon Hyde did indicate that it wasn't on purpose. They weren't upset about it. But yeah, it's a big deal when you lose an all-star.
All-star player. Huge part of our lineup, our culture, really everything. He's right in the middle of everything. And so we have to have other guys kind of step up in his place and fill the void.
Yeah, so this will be a tough one for the Orioles to absorb. And you hear Brandon Hyde indicate that maybe Jordan is back by the end of the year. But here's the crazy part. It happened right after the Jackson Holiday home run. So right before? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry, Westbrook, I thought it was right after.
No, well, yeah, Westbrook got plunked to load the bases for Jackson
Holiday. Yeah. Okay, my fault. Thank you for that clarification, Manny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So, yeah, you get the one and then you get the other, but it's kind of hard to be too excited about the home run. Even Brandon Hyde was kind of feeling those mixed emotions.
They're celebrating right now in the clubhouse for him. We have a little bit of a bittersweet attitude going right now with Westy, but... Jackson with a huge hit for us today. I thought his at-bats were much better. Even that outs to left field and the almost home run down the left field line, staying on the baseball so much better. And even the fly out to left field was a good swing, two strikes. So swing was a little bit shorter, and I like the swings today.
So with back-to-back wins, thank you, Jackson Holiday, the Orioles will take that. And they're, of course, excited for him. He was the number one pick in the 22 draft and so much hype and pressure on his shoulders. And he needed a little more time in AAA. But yeah, you can see the difference according to Hyde. Baltimore is still sitting on the 65-44 record and the half game lead over the Yankees. Okay, so by winning these back-to-back games, they're staying just ahead of New York, but a lot of people getting excited in the New York City area because it appears as though the pinstripes are back on track.
Pitch to LeMahieu, swung on, hit deep to left center field. Back goes Rojas, the center fielder. That ball is off the wall. Hayes plays it. One run scores, two run score. Here comes the third one. That's what we wanted to see from DJ LeMahieu.
The call on the field is overturned. It is a home run.
There it is. A grand slam home run. Ruiz's pitch is swung on and hit in the air to deep right center field. Back goes Castellanos. That ball will hit the warning track. Volpe will score. Here comes Verdugo. Oh, what a day for DJ LeMahieu. A bases clearing two-run double. Holmes' pitch is swung on. Roll to second. Gleyber to short for one. Volpe to first. May I have another? Double play, and the ball game is over. Bryce Harper hits into a 4-6-3 double play, and the Yankees bring out the brooms.
Okay, we really like Ricky Ricardo around here. He's the play-by-play voice of the Yankees for this series against the Phillies. And yeah, the brooms are out because the Yankees swept Philadelphia. So get this, you are looking at the standings now, and it's Orioles, Yankees, Guardians, who have won three in a row, Guardians and Phillies all have 65 wins. That's the most in baseball. That's going to be quite a race through the rest of the regular season for best record overall. Dodgers sitting on 63 wins, so they are just behind. But yeah, four teams right now on 65 wins, though technically the Guardians have the best record in baseball because they have the fewest number of losses to go along with those 65 wins. Dodgers just lost to the Padres in back-to-back games and really are hoping that Jack Flaherty gives their rotation a boost. Not often that you're going to see them limited to one run, but Dylan Cease was terrific for the Padres. We talked about Logan Webb and the Giants, and so the NL West is a little juicier as well. I'm hoping for some tight division races as we head down the stretch, but certainly we can expect that in the American League East. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, just for fun, because walk-offs are the bomb. Mentioned the American League East. Well, the Red Sox, they had some fireworks.
Last time up, he came up in a big situation with two men on, one out in the seventh in a tie game. He hit that pop-up that wound up in the interference double play. Swings and lifts one to left center field. On the run, Luke Raley back at the wall. It's off the wall. Here comes O'Neill around third, and the Red Sox win on a wall double by Devers.
That's the call on the Red Sox radio network. So Rafael Devers has a wall ball. Those are fun. I'd like one of those when I'm at Fenway Park in 10 days. I actually, well, this is kind of fun. Sean Grandy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, he is... he's a season ticket holder. He shares a group of seats with another family or another friend. And so he's got a select number of tickets and can't use them all, obviously, because of his day job, but because they do vacation in the summer. And actually, he's working on the Olympics right now, as he told us last time he was on the show. So I purchased his tickets for August 10th because the Red Sox are hosting the Astros. Now, that's not a big deal to anyone except husband, who's from Texas, but loves the Astros. And so he has said that he may wear an Astros hat or Astros gear to the game at Fenway Park. And I think he should be okay, because I told him I'd be wearing a Red Sox hat. And so I think the two of us, we would qualify as a mixed marriage, but I'll protect him. I told him I'll protect him in case anyone gets aggressive. So we appreciate Sean, bought his tickets, and we'll be back at Fenway Park. My husband's first time in Boston, and his, I don't know how we're even going to see all the highlights. And first time at Fenway Park, and we're really excited to be fans and just be goofy. But he will absolutely be cheering for the Astros. At some point, I may have to banish him. Go to the concourse if you embarrass me. No, I wouldn't do that. It'll actually be kind of fun to see him get booed. Maybe he'll get hit with some flying fruit or a flying French fry. Something along those lines.
Or somebody will bang a trash can near him.
True. Give him an earache of sorts. I think trash cans have been banned anywhere near the Houston Astros. It's dangerous. It's like TNT. So Red Sox with a walk-off there, and they're still touting their playoff contention. I mean, there's a long way to go. August and September, we're still in the dog days here, not even to the stretch run. But the AL East should be fun, and the Red Sox are not giving up. Actually, they and the Mariners have the same number of wins right now. So the wild cards make things super tight. 855-212-4227. Here is my question as I give you the phone number. Manny, have you done something to the phone lines? And I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for a listener who says that he started calling minutes after the show began, which is 2.5 hours ago, and the phones were already busy. This is his message on Twix. Couldn't be a phone issue, since as soon as your program ended, the line started ringing again. Oh, so that must have been our last show. Are the fill-in producers not accepting calls? That's, again, his question, his words, not mine.
We took a call yesterday.
That's true. This never happened before with producer Jay. Oh, and he tags producer Jay in it, too, almost like saying, hey, we miss you. Will you come back? I have no idea. I'm in here. So are the phones ringing?
I got somebody on hold right now.
You do?
Well, I have to screen them.
Oh, got you. Okay. Well, I do not know what this man's name is, but he said that he's gotten a busy signal or recording that sounds like one of the producers saying no routes found.
No routes found.
I have no idea what that means. No routes found? No routes found? What are you doing in there? I don't even know... Why a producer would say something along the lines of no routes found, no routes found, no routes found. I'm trying to say it out loud to see if maybe he misunderstood it and it's something else. But why would it be a producer? There's no, yeah. Maybe he's calling the wrong number. There's that possibility. Oh my gosh, you guys are making me so hungry. You know how much my stomach growls overnight? If you're Katie Ledecky and you burn thousands of calories per day with your training, what treat would you indulge in every day? Because I am not as disciplined as Katie Ledecky. If it were me and I was swimming 1,500 plus meters multiple times per day, I would absolutely be eating chocolate every single day. I love chocolate, or maybe French toast, but probably not every single day. I'll alternate between chocolate and French toast. So a lot of you are weighing in. We're asking you this question. What would you eat? What treat would you indulge in every day? Going back to Facebook, Jim says any type of pasta. Another Jim, cherry cheesecake filled cinnamon rolls. Have you ever heard of that? Cherry cheesecake filled cinnamon rolls. So the cinnamon roll gets pumped full of cherry cheesecake.
Sounds dangerous.
It does, actually, but also amazing. John says hot fudge sundaes with marshmallow and coconut ice cream. Oh, stop it. That is just wrong. Kevin, oatmeal cookies. I'm a bodybuilder on a strong protein diet. I exercise daily. All right, so he may not be in the same position as Katie Ledecky, but he's able to earn his oatmeal cookies. Rory goes with fudge. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Scott says, being Polish, I would gorge myself on punchkis. My cousin's wife has my grandma's recipe and almost matched it. Oh, that's awesome. Actually, being half Polish myself, I think I'd go with pierogies. Stuffed with the potato is my favorite, although some are stuffed with cheese and meat too. And then one more on Facebook, Mike goes with death by chocolate. Well, all right, let's not get extreme. All right, coming back, Aaron Rodgers trying to teach a young receiver a lesson. And speaking of receivers, DJ Moore actually didn't want to go to the Bears when he got traded. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Happy first day of August. Good morning on your Thursday. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here's Amy Lawrence.
After Hours on August 1st. Wowzers, they're already underway at the Olympics on Thursday. And coming up at the top of the hour, longtime news correspondent and Olympics correspondent Steve Futterman will join us from Paris. We've been trying to hook up with him. For whatever reason, he needed to do it over a video call. No idea how he would do a FaceTime or a WhatsApp or some of the other things he suggested. So instead, we are doing a Zoom call, but it took us a few days to be able to set it up with him. So I appreciate his patience and also the fact that he's willing to accommodate our schedule. And so we will connect with him. I am confident, fingers crossed, because that does a lot across the pond. And so we'll be talking to Steve. I know he's seen gymnastics. He's also been to tennis, lots of star power between those two events. And in addition, he was covering swimming too. And I know he asked a question of Katie Ledecky after her 1500 meter freestyle gold medal, her eighth swimming gold medal, her 12th overall. And she says she loves training and has no plans to retire before LA, which I think would be an amazing cap to her career if she would choose to continue through the next Olympics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook and as well online on Twix, A-Law Radio, asking you what treat you would indulge in if you burned as many calories as Katie Ledecky does every day. So we're not necessarily going to spend the rest of the show on Ledecky, though we could. She's the queen. But more about the food that she gets to eat and how jealous I am. And we'll hear from DJ Moore here momentarily. But Ellen is listening in St. Louis. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. How's it going?
It's good. Happy summer. Happy August. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Dog days are here. So on the food thing, it's very specific. It is biscuits from a little restaurant here in St. Louis called Half and Half. And then with the really crispy bacon, so you make like a biscuit sandwich.
That sounds amazing. I could eat one of those or two right
you know,
now.
Bacon surrounded by two sticks of butter.
Love it.
And then I wanted to, so Jack Flaherty, you know, he came up through the Cardinal organization, and for a couple of years, he was, I mean, everybody thought he was sort of our next Chris Carpenter, Adam Wainwright, super gritty guy and just tough guy, lights out, kind of intimidating on the mound, all that stuff. And then he had a shoulder, he had like a labrum tear in his shoulder. And he had a really, you know, and that I thought was sort of like the kiss of death for pitchers. But he kind of gritted his way back through it. But Cardinals didn't even offer him a contract. Well, they traded him, I think, in the middle of last year to the Orioles, and he wasn't that good. So I was kind of concerned that he was never going to get it back. But maybe he has, which is exciting. But he's from L.A., so I'm really happy for him if, in fact, he is okay. So I just wanted to give the background on that, because that guy, I think everybody thought he was going to be like the Cardinal guy for life. And
right.
Then his injury happened.
What did he spend six seasons there with the Cardinals?
Oh gosh, I wish I knew the answer to that. But 2019, I think if you look at his stats, and he had some long scoreless inning streak and all this kind of stuff. And just, you know, he kind of spent a ton of time with Wainwright and just kind of had that really tough on the mound persona. And yeah, just everybody loved the guy. I mean, he was super tough. I don't know how else to put it, but the shoulder tear, everybody was like, oh no,
right.
You know, and it's just, he was never quite the same. It doesn't seem, but hopefully he somehow it mended itself. I'm not sure how all that works, but
it's funny that you say that, because the concern was his back. Now he says he's fine. He feels terrific. The Dodgers say they don't have any issues, but the reports were that the medicals are what held up the trade to the Yankees. Now, Brian Cashman did not confirm that. Maybe he's not allowed to because Flaherty is not a member of the Yankees, but did say that they would have been comfortable bringing him on board, just couldn't make it work with the Tigers. No mention of his shoulder. What I've heard is his back, if anything.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of what surprised me, too. So hopefully that's not a compounded issue. But, I think he didn't do very well with the Orioles last year. And I don't even think he made their playoff roster.
Yeah, so he was, it looks like he was seven. Oh, no, I take it back. He started seven games. I'm looking at his stats now. He was 1-3, and he had a really high ERA with the Orioles. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I really like that guy, and I hope it works out for him in LA, because everybody, the word in here around St. Louis was just like, all he wants to do is go back to LA because that's where he's from, which is totally fine, of course.
Well, his ERA is under 3 now. I mean, with the Tigers
figured out.
Yeah, with the Tigers, it's kind of tough to win when as a starting pitcher, at least this season. But his ERA is great; it's under 3, and he's already over 106 innings pitched.
Well, good. Well, maybe he's all the way healed up, which is fantastic. And the Cardinal, I'll save my Cardinal rant for some other time or anybody who cares about it, but nobody. But the other thing is Ricky Ricardo. So I don't live in New York and I don't hear his play-by-play calls, but first of all, I love them. They're so great.
He's terrific.
And then secondly, I'm a little bit of an old, and I don't know if your listeners or even you know the name of Ricky Ricardo, but
Ricky and Lucy?
Yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
My grandmother used to watch it.
Yes! The best! Lucy, you got some explaining to do. You know, that was kind of his famous line.
Right.
And I just love the name that Ricky Ricardo's back, whatever form he takes. And that guy's excellent. Gosh, he's good.
Yeah,
so,
he is
anyway.
Really good. But he's a longtime play-by-play voice of the Yankees Spanish broadcast. And so he's known and been around the team for years. But I agree with you. The first time I heard his name, I thought of I Love Lucy. And for people who didn't even ever watch it in black and white, like I said, my grandmother used to watch it. Every now and then it'd be on TV in our house. But they had a movie recently on Amazon Prime where, it was Javier Bardem, I think.
No, and Nicole Kidman.
And Nicole Kidman. And it was terrific. I watched the movie and it was actually really good.
Yeah. No, they really ignited television. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Nice.
But yeah. So I hear Ricky Ricardo and it makes me smile on all levels.
It's a walk down memory lane. All right. Good morning to you. Happy August, Ellen.
Thank you, dear. Have a good day.
Crazy to say that, but I'm going to keep saying it. Happy end of July. Happy August. We're moving forward. 855-212-4227. See, the phones are working, so I'm not sure about this other listener who's upset that he hasn't been able to get through. But Manny's got his hands on his hips and he's staring at the phone right now. So you should be good to go. DJ Moore, this is kind of a fun little revelation. I suppose he feels a little more confident in expressing himself after the large contract extension that he received. But do you know what we found out from him on Wednesday as he was talking to the press is his reaction to the trade from, now remember, he got flipped from the Panthers to the Bears as part of that trade for the overall number one pick 2 seasons ago, right? The one that Frank Reich and company used to select Bryce Young. And, well, you know how that worked out. But DJ Moore went from Carolina to Chicago, and now he's feeling confident enough to express his reaction.
I gave my reaction. I don't care. when I first got the call, I was like, oh, shit. But then I was just like, yeah, new beginnings, you know, new everything. So I just took it on with a head full of steam with my family, and we was all just bored in. Once we got here, it was no looking back. Like, it's, we here now, like, for the long haul, for real, for real.
Okay, but why, though? Why was the reaction to Chicago, an iconic NFL team and uniform with some history, stadium, why was the reaction all bleep?
No, because let me get this. Because we had just moved into a house, so it was like,
no,
dang,
that sucks.
We got traded. So I was just like, coming down the driveway, got the phone call. Yeah, you've been traded. Boom, Pose called me. Hey, we're glad to have you. So I had to change my whole mindset. I was like, all right, I'll be there.
That sucks, though. I would agree with that. That is brutal. You've just bought a house. Your family's probably moving with boxes everywhere, and you're not even unpacked yet. He's driving down the driveway toward his new house, and he finds out he's been traded. So, yeah, my reaction would probably have been along those same lines. Speaking of reactions, what about the reaction of his locker room when he got paid by the Bears this week?
Shoot, just how you handle our defense. You know, he dice them up. They show something new at him. He go around asking them questions on how he could be better with it. And I know he takes everything.
So we'll hear from DJ Moore next hour if we can fit it in. Sorry about that. We got our wires crossed. He signed a 4-year, $110 million contract extension, the largest in Bears history. And, of course, Drew Rosenhaus on the other end, but $82.6 million guaranteed, third most for a wide receiver on a single contract in NFL history. All right, to Paris we go next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.